Hello everybody and welcome to the first ever JD Nogafella Sports Podcast. I myself am JD Nogafella and I am doing a sports podcast in order to share sports info, news, so anytime something big happened, normally I will be talking about it. Anyway, thanks for joining me today. Today is Saturday, June 1st, and as you know, the first game of the NBA Finals was a few days ago, Game 1, of the Toronto Raptors Golden State Warriors series. This is the first time that the Cavs and Warriors have not been going up against each other in 4 years, and it's the fifth consecutive year that the Golden State Warriors have been in the NBA Finals. And it is Toronto's first year of ever being in the NBA Finals, and then the first Finals game ever to be played in Canada happened a few nights ago. As most of you may have heard, the Toronto Raptors did take Game 1 at home against the Warriors. And one of the reasons I think that Toronto was able to do this and play well against the Warriors is, first of all, the Toronto Raptors always seem to stay in front by 5 or more points, which really helped them. If you ever get behind against the Warriors, normally, especially if it's by a large amount, normally it will be very hard to get yourself back into the game. Well, even though the Warriors can get themselves back into the game in what seems like a heartbeat with their perimeter shooting, Toronto really kept Kawhi. Toronto really stayed out in front with Kawhi Leonard and Pascal Siakam really just attacking the Golden State Warriors defense. Siakam ended up with, I'm pretty sure, 32, and Leonard with something around 22 points, as both of them had very well performances in Game 1, which helped them beat the Warriors. One thing that I think is helping out the Toronto Raptors in this duel versus the Golden State Warriors is that Drake, the pop star that is in the crowd for Toronto, is getting in some of the Warriors' heads. Steph Curry, I think, is very good at tuning this type of stuff out, but someone who isn't is Draymond Green. I don't know if you heard, but Draymond Green and Drake had a little word after Game 1. I did not see it. It sounds like Drake is helping the Raptors out by getting into Draymond Green's head, causing Draymond to not perform at his best on the court. Another thing that I think is factoring into the Warriors' misfortune and how the Raptors won Game 1 is how KD has been injured, Kevin Durant has been injured for the past few weeks for the Golden State Warriors, which did not seem to have a problem in the Western Conference Finals against the Portland Trail Blazers, but seems like it will be a huge factor in this Finals. As of right now, KD is doubtful for Game 2, and Steve Kerr, quote-unquote, said he's a long shot for Game 2, and he will not suit up till at least Game 3, so we're looking at Game 3, Game 4 until KD returns. So I think that Game 2, which is tomorrow night, is a must-need game, must-win game for the Toronto Raptors in order, because Kevin Durant, once he's back, you know, it will be a whole different story. I know if Curry plays well, it seems like the Warriors will win, but if Kevin Durant is back and Curry and Tim are playing well, it's game over for the Raptors. They just don't have enough firepower and talent to match that. Another thing that I think the Raptors need to keep going for them in order to beat the Warriors is they need Siakam and Gasol to keep pounding away. Siakam had an outstanding Game 1. And I'm sure, and Gasol, when I watched the game, Gasol played very well too. Gasol needs to keep playing well, so does Siakam. Those guys are the two X factors. They're going to prepare for Leonard, they're going to prepare for Lowry, the Warriors will. It needs to be Siakam and Gasol doing the dirty work, getting those extra effort plays, extra plays that don't really show up in the stats, they don't show up in the box score. They need to be those guys who grind it out for them and end up hopefully winning it for the Toronto Raptors. Another thing that Toronto has going for them is their home court advantage, which seems to have the biggest effect in Toronto, as it seems like the whole entire country of Canada shows up for their home games, whether it be outside or inside. One last thing I think Toronto must succeed in to beat the Warriors is to, once again, another thing, Toronto must be able to control Curry. Curry, although all that firepower on that Golden State team, Curry is the source of it all, and if he isn't playing well, the team isn't playing well. So you must control Curry, keep him under 30 points, make sure he doesn't shoot lights out from perimeter, contest every shot he takes. He and Klay Thompson, you must control him, but Curry, number one priority on defense. Now, for free agency in the NBA, it seems like it's going to be all over the place. You got Kyrie wanting to go somewhere. You want Leonard maybe to go somewhere. Anthony Davis, will he go or stay now that they have the Pelicans have the number one pick? What will KD do? What will Klay Thompson do? All these things, I'm going to answer them to my opinion. As of right now, I think Kyrie Irving, he will either stay in Boston or he and KD might join in New York. I think, honestly, out of those two predictions, I think Kyrie will leave. The question is, where will he go? Will he go to New York? Will he go back to Cleveland? Will he unite with LeBron and go to LA? We don't really know. That probably won't happen, but I think Kyrie is out of Boston. Kevin Durant, I think he should leave. I think he should go to New York. He wants his own team. I think he should go there. Now, let's say in the first day Kyrie signs a deal with New York, that could change things up. As much as people want to see Kyrie and KD, I don't think Kevin Durant wants that. I think he wants it to be his team and shows that he can carry a team to the NBA playoffs by himself. He is out of Golden State, but the question is, will he go to New York? I think he should, but I don't know if he will. Now, Kawhi Leonard, I think he should stay in Toronto. I don't know if he will. I think he should. I think he might, especially if they win the finals this year. Even if they don't, it seems like the Raptors are one superstar away, one good role player away from being NBA champions. Kevin Durant's out of Golden State next year, maybe even Klay Thompson. The West will be more in contention for other teams, and Toronto, they'll be right back at it if Kawhi decides to stay, as long as same with Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol, their whole crew. Now, moving on, that is the NBA, NFL offseason news. First of all, this is kind of late news. I did not know this. Ndamukong Suh finally signed a deal, and it's with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Bruce Arians, the new coach there. Hopefully things will go well for him. Damian Williams, the backup running back for Kansas City last year, after Kareem Hunt got in trouble, they suspended him and they released him. Damian Williams was the man helping them throughout the last few weeks of the season and in the postseason. Now, Damian Williams is now the starting running back declared a few days ago for Kansas City. Now, this Kansas City offense is changing a lot. They still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Travis Kelce, but they lost Tyreek Hill, and they lost Kareem Hunt now. I'm pondering in my mind right now if this is good or bad for them. I think Tyreek Hill gone is good. Kareem Hunt, I think that is bad. But will Patrick Mahomes be able to operate with this many people gone on the offense? I know he'll still have Travis Kelce, but is he good enough to just operate with that and a few mediocre wide receivers? It'll be interesting to see. I think he's good enough to do it, but the question is, will he? I also heard they got a real speedy wide receiver with attributes similar to Tyreek Hill's. I forget his name, but it sounds like he will be a big role in their offense, and that's also signaling that Tyreek Hill is out of Kansas City and probably even out of the NFL, out of the league. So it'll be interesting. Keep an eye on Kansas City's offense this year. See how Patrick Mahomes does it. And their defense. They got a few upgrades, especially with signing Tyrann Mathieu, safety. out of Houston. It'll be very interesting to see how Kansas City turns out next year. Another big story has been the Nick Foles, Carson Wentz situation. It was heard that Carson Wentz was a little jealous or worried from Nick Foles that he was the one leading them to the Super Bowl, leading them through the playoffs for back-to-back years now, although they did lose in the second round that they almost won. Now, Carson Wentz said, okay, he admitted it. He was a little bit worried, a little bit jealous, and that's why he was so tense out there on the field. I think this will be good for him. He will be able to step up now that Foles is out of his hair. Foles is down in Jacksonville. It'll be interesting to see how he does down there now with, let's face it, even though the Eagles were the lowest seed in the playoffs last year, they probably had some of the best talent still. Now, the Jaguars have good talent, but it's all on the defensive side. Leonard Fournette had a disappointing year. They lost most of their good wide receivers. Their offensive line is not very good for Jacksonville. How will Nick Foles be able to handle this? It'll be interesting. I'm rooting for him. I like him, even though he beat my favorite Patriots in that Super Bowl. I really like him. I'm rooting for him. I also like Carson Wentz. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But now Wentz, he has all that firepower and no chip on his shoulder, which normally it's good to have a chip on your shoulder from most quarterbacks, but it seems like Wentz is not that guy. Now, a few people, Kyler Murray, a big story. Will he be a bust? Will he be the next greatest thing? Honestly, I don't think he'll be a bust. We saw that Baker Mayfield, everyone was very, the whole Browns, all of Browns Nation was very upset with that pick, and he turned out to be one of the really great quarterback. I wouldn't call him one of the best in the league yet, but he turned out to be a great quarterback who could definitely do some damage in that AFC North division. And just in the AFC in general. Now, I don't think Kyler Murray's a bust. I think every coach needs his quarterback, and I think Arizona made a mistake by firing their coach Steve Wilks so early in his career coaching there. I think they should have gave him and Josh Rosen maybe one or two more years to sort things out, and now that is gone, they had to get rid of Josh Rosen and go to Kyler Murray, which is their new coach's favorite quarterback. Cliff Kingsbury, I think is his name. That's his guy right there. That is Kyler Murray is his man. He picked him. Every coach should get their quarterback of their choice. He got him. And Kyler Murray's an incredible athlete, incredible arm. The only question, once again, like Baker Mayfield, was the height. And I think he'll be able to do it with those big boys on that D&O line in Big 12. Although defense isn't really big in the Big 12, there's still big guys up there. So I think Kyler Murray has a shot in this league with that coach, with the way he likes to run his offense, Pac-12 style, or not Pac-12, Big 12 style offense. I think that he maybe won't be the best ever, maybe won't be the best quarterback, maybe won't be that eye-opening, but he'll be a good 10-year quarterback, I think, for the Arizona Cardinals. Who is the unexpected star? Every year it seems like we have one of these. The top two last year is definitely, if you consider the rookies, I'm going to say Patrick Mahomes, since he's not a rookie, but he played one game last year. I'm going to give it to Patrick Mahomes and James Conner this year. Those guys, both not rookies, but they both barely ever played. They come out starting positions this year, and they both light it up out there. Very good players out there. Now, I think for this year, there's a few guys who have a chance at doing that. I think Greedy Williams was a steal in the second round of the draft for Cleveland. I would include Dwayne Haskins here. I think he still got picked pretty early, so he's not in my top three, but he should have gone way earlier before pick 15. If Dwayne Haskins, the only question for him in Washington is, will he have enough offense? That Ohio State offense was popping. They had all the talent in the world. Some of the best talent in the country. Now he's going to this Redskins offense, which is a little underdeveloped on the offensive line and at skill positions. It'll be interesting to see how well they can perform with him at quarterback. Two other players that I think will be big is Greg Little, offensive tackle. He's going to be playing for Carolina this year. He was a steal in the second round as well. But number one on my list is Juwan Taylor out of Florida University, who was picked in the second round once again. Now, the story behind this pick is that Jacksonville probably got the best deal in the draft. They got Josh Allen with the 7th pick and Juwan Taylor in the 2nd round. Now, Juwan Taylor, people thought that he would have gone in the top 10 to Jacksonville. Jacksonville decided to get a defensive player, which, like I said, they're built around defense. And then now, somehow, he drops all the way down to the 2nd round and they still get him. And that is very fortunate for the Jacksonville Jaguars, as now Nick Foles has a little more protection. The word on him is he is a quick, big, and he has very good quickness for how big he is. And with those edge rushers in the NFL, how quick and powerful they are, that'll be a big thing to have for him. Well, once again, I'd like to thank you guys for listening, and I'm sorry if there are a few mishaps, a few mistakes, a few times where I smack my head for 5 seconds and there's just nothing to be talked about, no one talking like a second ago. So this is my first time doing this, so I'm sorry if it's a little, and I wouldn't say bad, but maybe, okay, if it is bad, sorry, but sorry if it's a little, not professional, let's put it that way. But thank you for listening to the JD Nogafella Sports Podcast. I know it wasn't too long, no, it wasn't too much. Maybe next time I'll have some more baseball news. And if you have any more sports you want me to talk about, I know I'll have a special guest coming on in our next episode talking about the Women's World Cup. So if you'd like to come back for that, please tune in again. Subscribe, like, comment down below what you want me to do next. If you want me to talk about, like I said, a different sport, or even something else, maybe your favorite TV show, you know, food, I don't know, something else. But thank you for watching, thank you for tuning in, and just hopefully you enjoyed this. And now this is getting kind of awkward, so I'm gonna stop. Bye. Thanks once again.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.